Church at Southside family, good morning. It's great to see you today. When God does good things in your life, sometimes you just want to sing about it. And Miss Hattie has shared with me just some ways that God has moved in her life. And so she wants to just share a song of worship. So I invite you to give your attention to Miss Hattie. I know we've had the gospel bird this morning. After Miss Hattie sings, we're going to have the gospel word. Amen. Amen. So give your attention to Miss Hattie as she praises the Lord. Amen. Here's Miss Hattie.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our prayer, Lord, on my dying bed. Die in the kingdom, power in the glory, forever me. Amen. Amen. Just say amen, oh Lord. And I know you've been mine. Been my loving Father, I know you've been my life story. I come on home, die in the kingdom, power in the glory, forever on me.
Joyful noise, amen. Today is the Sunday after Easter, and I've got good news for you, church. He is still risen, amen. He is still risen. I know last Sunday we had some rain and showers, but today is a beautiful day, so I'm so glad you're here to just share in some good fellowship and share in the Word of God. So let's study the Word of God together. There's one verse that I just have not been able to escape since Easter Sunday. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it says this. It says, if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is, here's the truth, church. The truth is that Christ has been raised up. Amen? Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. So Jesus Christ was the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. So the truth for today in one sentence is you are a part of the faith family of God. You are a part of the faith family of God. You are going to be a part of that long legacy of people just like Christ that are going to be raised from the dead. You are part of a faith family. You're part of a legacy. You're part of a larger story, the larger story of God. And we've been focusing on this as we look at the faith chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 that tells us all about faith, and it tells us about the legacy of people who walked with God in faith. Just like Jesus, who's going to be raised up, they're going to be raised up, and we are a part of that legacy. We are a part of that family. So we've been exploring these stories of different people from Hebrews chapter 11. Sometimes that is called the Hall of Fame of Faith, people who walked with God in faith. So today, we're going to look at an account of a person who walked with God in faith, and his name was Noah. Now, I know that all of you may not know the story of Noah, and I know some of you may know the story of Noah. So we're going to look at what it says about Noah in Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to walk through the story and see what we learn about Noah. We're going to see what we learn about his faith, and we're going to see what we learn about God as a part of Noah's story. So in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith. And remember, every single person that's a part of this legacy of God, when they are talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, it begins by those two words, by faith. Y'all say that with me, by faith. So faith was an important part of their story, okay? It was the central part of their story, which is what the Hebrew writer is trying to tell us. So by faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. Now, normally, good people that are going to sail, if you want to save yourself a lot of trouble, if you want to save yourself some issues and challenges, you probably want to build a ship near water, right? Because that's mostly where you're going to need to use the ship, right? Here's our Norton's Floors, folks. By the way, for everybody watching on online, Norton's Florist is such a gift to us, such a blessing. They let us use this parking lot. We're so grateful for them. So bless all the Norton's Florist deliveries today, God. Amen? Amen? So yes, such a blessing. And I know they've got to do business, and so we love them and we appreciate them. So like I said, by faith, Noah built a ship in the middle of dry land. Now, don't you imagine that some of the people that were around Noah may have given him a little bit of grief or a hard time because there's no water around and he's building a ship in the middle of dry land. Now, why did he do that? Hebrews 11 verse 7 says he was warned about something that he couldn't see. He was warned about something that he couldn't see, and he acted on what he was told. He acted on what he was told. So the result, his family was saved, and his act of faith drew a sharp line between the evil of the unbelieving world and the rightness of the believing world. And as a result, Noah became intimate with God. Noah became intimate with God. So let's learn more about his story. It's in the book of Genesis in the Old Testament, and it's in Genesis chapter 6 is where the story of Noah begins. Now, regrettably, the story begins with a little bit of bad news because things had gotten really bad. You can see that we're only in Genesis 6, so obviously the Bible starts in Genesis 1. So by Genesis 6, let me tell you what has been going on. It said in verse 5 that God saw that human evil was out of control. Right, so we're in Genesis 6, okay? We don't know how many years had passed, you know, maybe hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe not that long, but at the end of the day, God saw that human evil was out of control. People thought evil, people imagined evil, 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 evil from morning to night. So that's how bad it had gotten. One of the other translations says, every thought of man was on evil continuously. So the earth, the people of the earth had become so corrupt, so evil. And it says, the scripture says that God was sorry that he had made the human race in the first place. It broke his heart. So God said, I'll get rid of my ruined creation and make a clean sweep. People, animals, snakes and bugs, which I'm not sure why we chose snakes and bugs, but I'm sure they're useful for something. Snakes, bugs, and birds, the works, I'm sorry that I made them. But listen to this, verse 8. But Noah was different. God liked what he saw in Noah. So sometimes we may think our actions or the way we live doesn't really matter. God's watching, God's seeing, and he sees something different in Noah. This is the story of Noah. Noah was a good man, a man of integrity, a man of integrity, a man who loved the community. He was a man of integrity in his community, and he walked with God. As far as God was concerned, the earth had become so corrupt and there was violence everywhere. He took one look at how bad everything was. Everything was corrupt and corrupting. Life itself was corrupt to the core. And God said to Noah, it's all over. It's the end of the human race. This violence is everywhere and I'm making a clean sweep. Build for yourself a ship from gopher wood. We would call it teak wood these days. Make rooms in it. Coat it with pitch inside and out. And listen to how big this ship is. Make it 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Build a roof for it and put in a window, and put a window 18 inches from the top. Put a door on the side of the ship and make three decks, lower, middle, and upper. I'm going to bring a flood on the earth that will destroy everything alive under heaven. Total destruction. But I'm going to establish a covenant with you. You'll board the ship. Your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives will come on board with you. And you will also take two of every living creature, a male and a female, on board the ship to preserve their lives with you. Two of every species, bird, mammal, and reptile. Two of everything, so as to preserve their lives along with yours. Also get all the food you'll need and store it up for you and for them. And verse 22 is a huge verse in this story. Listen, church, it says, Noah did everything God commanded him to do. Noah did everything God commanded him to do. Now, in the middle of dry land, building a ship that's 450 feet wide, 75 feet tall, with three different levels where no water is around anywhere, probably sounded a little crazy. If you want to know what that looks like, there's an actual physical representation about, in my home state of Kentucky, about halfway between Louisville and Cincinnati. Someone built an ark. I'm sure a lot of people, it wasn't just one person. Just like this, the way that Noah did. And it's absolutely huge. If you look at the pictures, I still haven't seen it yet, but one of these days I'm going to see it. It's unbelievably, massively huge. We can imagine what it would take to house two of every single animal and, you know, eight humans. It'd take a huge ship. And because God said do it, even though it sounded crazy, Noah did everything that God commanded him to do. So can you imagine the ridicule as Noah is trying to do what God says? You can imagine people saying, you're absolutely crazy. Some people say maybe it hadn't even rained on the earth yet. We don't know that 100% for sure. But even if that had even if that is true, can you imagine? It's like God said that he was going to flood something and it hadn't even rained yet. So Noah had to have a ton of faith. And we're learning a lot about his story and about who he is. So in Genesis 7, this continues. In Genesis 7, verse 5. It says that Noah, once again, as God tells them to board the ship, he did everything that God commanded him to do. And then the door is shut by God as the story continues in the flood. It rains for 40 days and 40 nights. It says God shut the door of the ark behind him, and then the heavens started opening. The floodwaters took over the earth for 150 days. So you can imagine as it starts raining and as the flood is on the earth for 150 days, Noah might have been saying, God, where are you? Are you here? Are you with me? And in Genesis 8, the story continues and it says, God turned his attention to Noah and all the wild animals and the farm animals on the ship. God caused a wind to blow and the floodwaters began to go down. The underground springs were shut off and the windows of heaven were closed and the rain quit. Inch by inch, the water lowered. After 150 days, the worst was over. And then Noah begins to send out birds to check when it might be safe to be able to come out onto dry land. And then in verse 15, God says to Noah, leave the ship, you and your wife and your sons' wives, and take all the animals, every bird, every mammal, every crawling creature, all of the swarming extravagance of life so that they can reproduce and flourish on the earth. And so Noah did what God commanded him to do. And he built an altar to God and he selected the best animals and birds from every species and offered them as burnt offerings to God. And God smelled the sweet fragrance and thought to himself, listen to this, I'll never again curse the ground because of people. I know that they have this bent toward evil from an early age, but I'll never again kill off everything just as I have done. For as long as earth lasts, planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, will never stop. God said to Noah, God spoke to Noah, I'm setting up my covenant with you, including your children who will come along after you, everybody that came out of the ship from you. I'm setting up my covenant that I will never again destroy the earth by flood. No, never again will I flood destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living thing around you and every living thing after you. I'm putting my rainbow in the clouds, a sign of the covenant between me and earth. From now on, when I form a cloud over the earth and the rainbow appears over the cloud, I'll remember my covenant between me and you and every living thing that never again will floodwaters destroy all life. When the rainbow appears in the cloud, I'll see it and remember the eternal covenant between God and everything living and everything on the creature of the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I've set up. So you ever wondered why we have rainbows? What an amazing, beautiful, unbelievable story, an account of the truth of a man who walked with God by faith. So as we close, let's do some takeaways in two areas. What, number one, what did we learn about Noah? Okay. And then number two, what did we learn about God? So number one, what did we learn about Noah? Even when it sounds crazy, because of Noah's faith, he did what God said. Even when it sounded crazy, because of his faith, he did what God said. Now, it would have been very easy for Noah to say, okay, God, I believe you're going to flood the earth. I believe you're going to do that. I have faith that you're going to do that. My question to you is, would that have saved him? Well, if he didn't build the ark, he would have died just like everybody else. So it's one thing to say, yes, God, I believe in you. And that's a good thing. We need to have faith. We need to believe in God. But it's another thing to do what God says. When he tells you to do something, to do it, even when it sounds crazy. Now, we've talked a lot about the voices that we hear, the voice of God and the voice of the evil one. We always have that voice in our hearts, the voice of God and the voice of the evil one. And so it's good to test what you hear against scripture in community to make sure it is of God. And if it is of God, part of faith involves not just hearing and believing, which are great things, but acting on faith, not just saying, I believe, but doing what God says. And we learned that from Noah. Even though it sounds crazy, he did what God told him to do. He did, and it says over and over in Scripture, Noah did what God commanded him to do. He did what God commanded him to do. He acted in faith, and he put his faith into action. James says in the New Testament book of James that faith without works is dead. We don't act to get God's favor. We've already got it. But part of faith involves taking steps, doing what God says, okay? So I don't know how that applies to you. Think about it. Test it in community. Test the voices that you're hearing. Are they of God? Are they of the evil one? But if God is asking you and calling you and asking you to do something, part of faith is walking in that, doing what he commands you. We learned that from Noah. We also learned from Noah that he had to trust in God. And God not only cared about him, but part of his legacy was he loved Noah, but Noah's faith also saved his whole family. It also saved his whole family. The scripture doesn't tell us a lot about how his sons and his family were. They don't tell us if those people were good or not so good. Doesn't really matter. But isn't it interesting that because of the faith of one person in a family, it can change the line of an entire generation and plant seeds of faith for the future. So you may think, maybe you are in your family the only one that is a believer. You're the only one that has faith in God. You may think, well, you know, my family has 20 people. I'm the only one that believes in God. It doesn't really matter. You know, I'm kind of outnumbered here. Well, learn from the story of Noah that all it takes is one, church. All it takes is one person to believe and walk in faith and do what God says that he wants you to do. And it can change a legacy lifetimes in the future. So don't become discouraged if you are the only one walking in faith. Noah was the only one on the whole earth with generations and bunches of people. He was the only one. But his faithfulness, his obedience changed history forever. It changed history forever. So just know that. I didn't read part of the story that continues in Genesis 9. After this huge deliverance, this huge rescue from God, Noah sins. And it records that very clearly in Genesis 9. When you get time, read it. He made a mistake. But that mistake and that sin did not define his life. There were consequences from that sin. But Noah wasn't perfect. None of the people that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 had faith and were perfect in life. They all sinned. They all made mistakes. So our church and what God is calling us to do, that don't let one mistake or a sin define you. Don't let that be the legacy of your faith. Yes, there are consequences for our actions. There are consequences for our sins. But grace covers all. Amen. Grace covers all, so don't let that sin define who you are. Those are lessons we learned from Noah. Let's end with lessons we learned about God. So if we're honest, when we read this scripture of Noah, doesn't God sound a little scary? I mean, I don't know if I would want to stand before someone who says in one breath, I'm going to destroy everything. Okay? Now, the Genesis writers kind of explained that God had a reason to, okay? I mean, we read it. It was evil, evil, violence. Every thought of a man's heart was on evil continually, okay? So it's not like God didn't have a cause, okay? But I think we learned from the story of Noah that it matters, and there is a judgment side of God, that judgment is his to do with as he pleases. Now, in that time, I'm sure that that was very scary. But let's not forget the end of the story, okay? What was the end of the story? I mean, what he did, even though he had a right to do it, killing everybody, it hurt him. It hurt God's heart so much so that he said, I'm never going to do this again. Okay, so if this picture of God for you is scary, which, I mean, it is for me as I read the story and try to make sense of it, God had, and any of us that are parents, we kind of know this with our kids. How many of us have said, hopefully in jest, we get so angry, so frustrated, I'm going to kill you, you know? I mean, we've had moments like that, right? I mean, you know, the kids just bring out the good in us, you know? I mean, those of us that have kids, we know that. We see that. And it's not that we hate them. It's just we see that their actions are causing issues, causing challenges, causing problems for them. And we love them, and we don't want them to see that. We don't want them to face that. So can't you see that that's a little bit of the heart of God here? I just don't want these people to live in evil continuously. But God said these two beautiful words, never again. Never again. I'm never going to do this again. So even though this is, you know, truthfully a scary depiction of God, don't forget the end of the story that he'll never, ever, ever do that again. And we can look up and see a rainbow, and it even says that God sees the rainbow in the clouds. He says, never again. I love my people. I'm going to continue to be patient with them, even though they're evil, even though we sin, even though we struggle. Never again. I love my people. I'm going to give them second chances. I'm going to give them third chances. That is the heart of our God. Amen. That is the heart of our God. So don't let that scary depiction, don't let that scary image, which it is, cloud you from the fact that what God is a God of love, a God of redemption, a God of restoration, and he restores everything. He's restoring us, even though our sins and mistakes hurt us. He's restoring. So don't forget, church, as we close, the last sentence. You are a part of the faith family of God. You are a part of the faith family of God. So let's live out that legacy in love. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you. We thank you for this great hero of our faith, Noah. We appreciate that he was obedient, that he did what you told him to do, even though it sounded crazy. We learn from that, and we pray that as we listen to you, as we process your word to us in community, as we weigh it against Scripture, I pray that we will be people of faith that act, that walk, and that live out in obedient faith. Yes, we know belief is important, but I pray that we'll take the step of faith to do what you've called us to do. God, we know we will not be perfect in that, and Noah is a great reminder that even though he had wonderful deliverance and rescue in his life, he still sinned. He still made mistakes. He still had struggles, and we do too. So we pray for that amazing grace, that breeze that lowered the floodwaters. We pray that that will blow over our lives. We pray that you will cast our sin, as Scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. And we pray and we thank you for the covenant, for the promise that you made. Never again will I destroy them. Never again will I do this. And we believe your heart. We thank you for second, third, fourth, fifth, infinite chances, because we know that grace is amazing. So we walk in that grace, knowing that we are forgiven, that we are a part of the family of God. So I pray that faith in the lives of our family begins with us, that we can live out a legacy of faith. And we know on that great and glorious day that we will walk out of the cemetery just like Jesus did. So we affirm and proclaim the resurrection power of Jesus Christ over our hearts, over our souls, over our minds, over our lives. And we pray that this day we proclaim that we will walk in obedient faith, not in our own strength, not in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is living in us. So God, may you bless us. God, may you work with us. We thank you. We love you. We bless you. And we praise you. And it is in Jesus we pray. May all of God's people say together, amen. Amen. Have a great day. Thank you. It would be a lie to